This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, your host. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. I have a master's degree in nutrition and exercise. I work on a daily basis with Dr. Ronald Hoffman at our offices in Midtown Manhattan at 635 Madison Avenue, 14th floor. If you'd like to make an appointment with me or with Dr. Hoffman or with the both of us, 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. Speak to our very able assistant Grimaldi. She can help you. I want to talk to you about a few things that I've read in the literature recently. Number one, and this is from Science Direct, Clinical Nutrition, coconut oil consumption improves fat-free mass, plasma HDL cholesterol, and insulin sensitivity in healthy men with normal BMI, normal body mass index, compared to peanut oil. I'm being asked a lot about coconut oil again because there are still fat-phobic people out there who are afraid of coconut oil because it's one of the most saturated fats on the planet. But you know, coconut oil, with its lauric acid, capric acid, myristic acid, has a lot of benefits. Antimicrobial, antiviral, all of that. It's really cooling and healing for the gut. It's terrific during cold and flu season. It's very stable for high heat cooking because saturated fat molecules are linear, not broken like a monounsaturate like olive oil or polyunsaturated vegetable oils, which are probably the worst things to cook with. Coconut oil is very stable under high heat. So get some good quality extra virgin coconut oil. Incorporate it into your diet. So this study, coconut oil consumption improves fat-free mass, plasma HDL cholesterol, and insulin sensitivity in healthy men with normal body mass index compared to peanut oil. So let's dive into this. The existing scientific evidence on coconut oil consumption and its health effects remains inconclusive due to varied reasons. Now, I disagree with that, but this is what they are saying. It's fine. In this context, we conducted a well-controlled metabolic study, eliminating some of the confounding factors, and assessed the effects of the consumption of coconut oil-based diet on various anthropometric, biochemical, and inflammatory markers, and compared with a peanut oil diet. I'm not thrilled with peanut oil. It's certainly better than corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, soybean oil, cottonseed oil, all of those, right? It's not the best oil, it's a little better, but still a lot of omega-6 going on in there. I'm not a big fan. So, what were the methods in this study? 9 healthy male volunteers with body mass indexes in the normal range, that means a BMI of less than 25, were enrolled for the study and they were given balanced diets prepared with coconut oil at about 35 grams a day, a little over an ounce a day. An ounce would be about 28. For a period of 8 weeks. So they were on this diet for about 8 weeks. And after a washout period of 6 weeks, meaning for 6 weeks they went back to normal, they stopped this particular diet, that's the washout period. The same subjects, the same 9 healthy volunteers, were provided with diets prepared with peanut oil, about 35 grams again, a little over an ounce a day for 8 weeks. The composition data of the diets was identical in all aspects except for the fat source, being coconut oil or peanut oil. So what were the results? Compared to basal values, there were significant increases in fat-free mass, lean body mass, plasma HDL cholesterol, the good cholesterol, right? And insulin sensitivity of the subjects at the end of the coconut oil diet, at the end of 8 weeks on the coconut oil diet. Further, compared to the peanut oil diet, increase in plasma HDL was significant in the coconut oil diet treatment. And on the other hand, plasma inflammatory markers associated with cardiovascular diseases, namely some particular adhesion molecule, a vascular cell adhesion molecule called SVCAM1, and matrix metalloproteinase levels were reduced significantly by coconut oil. So the coconut oil diet, that 8 week coconut oil diet, reduced inflammatory markers, which are hallmarks of cardiovascular disease, right? It all starts with inflammation. Further, these subjects displayed elevated levels of myristic acid. Myristic acid is in coconut oil. So these subjects displayed elevated levels of myristic acid in plasma phospholipids at the end of the coconut oil consumption diet, which correlated positively with HDL cholesterol. However, no such changes were observed with the peanut oil diet. So, the ways to raise HDL cholesterol, the so-called good cholesterol, in this order, is increase your fat intake, like coconut oil, and exercise. That's the way to raise HDL. Coconut oil lifts HDL. Now, a lot of people will come say to me, after adding coconut oil to their diets, but Layla, my total cholesterol went up. My total cholesterol. Wait a minute. Your total cholesterol is not just about your LDL, but your HDL. Look at your HDL number. Did that go up significantly? Great. That means you have a better ratio. That total cholesterol number means nothing anymore. Nothing. It's the ratio that's important. So in conclusion, compared to peanut oil, the consumption of coconut oil in a balanced diet resulted in increased fat-free mass, plasma HDL, elicited favorable changes on insulin sensitivity, which is very important, and cardiovascular disease risk-associated parameters in healthy men with a normal BMI. So the highlights, the study compared the effects of coconut and peanut oil in a balanced diet on cardiovascular risk parameters in healthy men. Consumption of coconut oil at about 35 grams a day containing in the diet for 8 weeks increased the fat-free mass and the good cholesterol, the high-density lipoprotein, the HDL levels. It also markedly reduced vascular cell adhesion molecules and inflammatory markers. And further, it resulted in increased peripheral insulin sensitivity. Look at that. And you know, they managed other confounding things like exercise, smoking, all of that kind of thing. The coconut oil diet alone increased insulin sensitivity, and this is so very important in the prevention of obesity, diabetes, even in cancer. Insulin sensitivity. And overall, the consumption of coconut oil in a balanced diet seemed to have no adverse effect in healthy men with normal BMI. Yay! That's terrific. Now, speaking of cardiovascular disease risk factors, we talked about inflammatory markers in that coconut oil study, right? Well, pesticide metal exposure is tied to increased risk of heart disease. Workers who are exposed to pesticides or metals on the job may be significantly more likely to develop cardiovascular diseases, a U.S. study suggests. Researchers examined data on occupational exposure to solvents, metals, and pesticides for 7,404 workers who were part of a Hispanic/Latino health study in four cities. Those four cities are Chicago, San Diego, Miami, and New York. Overall, 6.5% of the participants reported exposure to solvents at work. 8.5% encountered potentially toxic metals, and 4.7% had pesticide exposure. Individuals who were exposed to pesticides were more than twice as likely overall to have conditions like heart disease, heart failure, or an irregular rapid heartbeat known as atrial fibrillation. Metal exposure was associated with a fourfold increase in risk for atrial fibrillation. Occupational exposures have been associated with clinical risk factors of cardiovascular disease, such as high blood pressure, but few studies have evaluated whether there is actually an association with cardiovascular disease itself, said the author at University of Illinois at Chicago. Our study suggests that occupational exposures to metals or pesticides is associated with an elevated prevalence of coronary heart disease and atrial fibrillation. It's not exactly clear why this is the case, or whether Hispanic workers might be more or less susceptible to heart problems associated with pesticide exposure than people from other racial or ethnic groups. It's possible, however, that exposure to pesticides or metals might increase inflammation or directly cause damage in the cardiovascular system. Overall, 6.1% of the workers in the study had at least one form of cardiovascular disease. Most of these cases were coronary heart disease, which narrowed arteries, reducing blood flow to the heart. These are the people, if the obstruction in their coronary heart arteries continued to increase, they would be candidates for, you guessed it, a bypass, a heart, you know, a coronary artery bypass graft, a CABG, a cabbage as we call it in my profession. A heart bypass. Workers exposed to pesticides were 2.2 times more likely to have coronary heart disease than workers without this exposure. Pesticide exposure was also associated with nearly six times the odds of atrial fibrillation and a 38% higher risk of blood vessel damage in the brain. Wow. Organic solvents used for tasks like degreasing, dry cleaning, and making things like paint, plastics, and textiles were not associated with an increased risk of heart problems, the researchers reported. This was reported December 11th online in the journal Heart. Now, I want to comment on that. Organic solvents used for tasks like degreasing, dry cleaning, making things like paints. These would include volatile organic compounds, plastics, textiles. They may not be associated with increased risk of heart problems, but there are definitely carcinogenic agents in these particular chemicals. I wanted to note that here. So, coming back to the study, one limitation is that researchers relied on workers to accurately recall and report on any exposure to pesticides, solvents, and metals on the job. Researchers, also lacked data on the total amount of exposure to these potential toxins, making it impossible to distinguish between occasional and habitual contact. Now, this is a big confounder, and these are what they call the potential limitations of this study. They have to state this, and I'm glad they do. So even so, the results offer fresh evidence that working with these chemicals may be a risk factor for heart disease, said Benjamin Horn of the Intermountain Medical Center Heart Institute and the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. Quote, these findings are especially important for individuals with other risk factors for cardiovascular disease who work in occupations that deal with potential pesticide and metal exposures. Horn, who wasn't involved in the study, said this, commented this via email. Workers who come in contact with pesticides and metals, regardless of any other risk factors for heart disease, should take precautions to limit their exposure. Now, nowhere in this article am I seeing if they adjusted for other potential confounding variables like smoking, like obesity, like their health status otherwise. Do they have diabetes or obesity or other metabolic risk factors like hypertension or high blood sugar or anything else? So this is interesting. A number of precautions can be taken to minimize workplace exposures, such as working in well-ventilated areas, utilizing protective equipment, such as gloves, eyewear, or respirators, especially the use of respirators, and washing hands or skin coming in contact with hazardous agents. Behavioral changes, such as eating healthy and being physically active, are the best ways to minimize risk for those who may be concerned about developing heart disease. And you know, when you're eating well and you're physically active, when you're eating well, you're getting the required nutrients for detoxification. You're helping your liver do its job to detoxify these elements that you may be exposed to. So, you know, if you're working in an automobile factory, if you're working as a dry cleaner, if you're working with other metals, if you're a farmer working with pesticides, if you live in a big, bad, polluted city, we already know that air pollution is a risk factor for coronary artery disease. That is well-founded in the scientific research. So the things we can control, what we eat and drink, make sure your food is clean, that they're not riddled with pesticides and herbicides, make sure your water is clean, right? You can control to a good portion of where you live, right? You can decide where you're going to live, but if you're going to live downwind of a farming community, a commercial farming community, you still will have herbicide or pesticide exposure. Be aware of that. You know, Parkinson's disease, for example, is a condition of high toxic exposures. These are not necessarily people living in cities with a lot of air pollution. These are people living in the country who live near farms, commercial farms, where they're exposed to a lot of pesticides and herbicides. Keep this in mind. Important information. So, our pesticide exposure can be controlled. Herbicide exposure can be controlled. Metal exposure can be controlled. Do you have silver fillings in your mouth? Find a holistic dentist. Think about having them removed. A regular mainstream dentist will not do this correctly. There is more exposure to mercury by having your amalgams removed by a conventional dentist who will not be wary of the exposure. So you want to find a holistic dentist who's going to detox you properly during the removal of those old amalgams, because the highest source of mercury exposure is our amalgams, old fillings, and eating seafood high in mercury. They are. The seafood highest in mercury are shark, swordfish, tuna, tilefish, king mackerel, orange ruffy. These are the highest. Limit your exposure to that. Boy, I do miss a good piece of swordfish, but I might have it twice a year. And I don't have any amalgams. I'm knocking wood as I say that. But that's a hereditary thing for me. I'm lucky in that regard. Let's hope my luck continues that way. So limit your exposure of the things that you can control. Your metal exposure, pesticide, herbicide. Do what you can. Eat a clean diet. Support your liver in its detoxification. All very important. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.